Raleigh, North Carolina. It's The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to the show Lost on ABC. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to The Lost Podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I am Jack.
And welcome
take
to the...
Take four.
Welcome to the Monday edition of The Lost Podcast. How are you doing, Jack?
It's just early.
It is, because we're recording, I think, for the first time ever in the history of The Lost Podcast, like, in the morning.
Yeah, I'm better lit at night.
Yeah, you're I work better you're at night owl.
I work better at night.
Okay. So, welcome. Hopefully, everybody had a good weekend. We have a lot to get into about last week's episode for Lost in Review. A lot about next week's episode and next on Lost. Some of my thoughts about it based on the preview.
Some of your thoughts? I think people are going to turn off the podcast right now.
Maybe.
Nobody cares.
A lot of listener feedback, and I guess the contest update's going to be postponed.
Yeah, we'll have it updated probably on Thursday.
Yes, because we're recording earlier than usual. It's actually right. Saturday morning.
Right.
Feels so weird.
We don't have a choice.
But so that's what's going on here. If you'd like to buy a Jay and Jack t-shirt, you can click the link right now in the AAC feed. Or check out shopsamonate.com or click the link on the sidebar on jayandjack.com.
Okay, do we know how long it takes to get a shirt once they've ordered it?
Well, it's he was making them, and I think he just got them in. So once he gets them in stock, then he can ship them.
Okay, so that's what's causing...
That's what's causing the delay so far.
Okay.
So that's what's going down. All right, so Jack, are you ready for Lost in Review?
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go.
Each week there's one thing to do, it's none other than Lost in Review. We take a look back at last week's episode, it's Lost in Review.
All right, it's Lost in Review time. Time to look back on some of the Easter eggs and our thoughts about last week's episode, The Life and Death of Jeremy Bentham.
Yes.
First up.
The death part was the best. I'm kidding.
Lots of numbers popping up in this week's episode. First, Locke's passport, born February 15th,
1948. 1948, so that...
We got February, which is 2, doesn't matter. 15th, that's one of the numbers, and 4 and 8 are the numbers. Next up, the car that picks up Locke in the beginning in Tunisia has 342 license plate. Also, Helen's grave died April 8th, 2006. We talked about this on the show. 4-8, and then 2 plus 6 equals 8. And
wow.
She was 48 when she died.
Wow. When she died, allegedly.
Allegedly.
I'm still saying she's not dead.
We had some calls, too, that agreed with you on that.
Well, who wouldn't agree with me?
I don't know. Some date observations. The Life magazine Easter eggs. The Life magazine that's in the office Caesar breaks into... on the Alcatraz Island is about the awesome fireball, a hydrogen bomb, is from April 19th, 1954.
Wow.
Last week's post picture in Hawking's office was dated for September 23rd, 1954. They're back in the time to meet Richard and crew in 1954. So, 54 seems to keep popping up.
Seems like a, yes.
Pivotal date.
Yes, I would say so.
Just like November 15th, 1955.
Right.
Which is from?
I don't know.
Back to the Future.
Oh, okay.
In the Life magazine, there's a picture from the movie, The Creature from the Black Lagoon, which is about a paradise that no one has ever returned from.
Mm.
The London Daily Tribune headline about the Oceanic Six sets the date at January 15th, 2005, that the Oceanic Six were back in the real world. So they crashed September 22nd, 2004. And they returned to the real world January 15th, 2005. Right?
Got it.
Hurley's pictures, foreshadowing maybe. Hurley draws the Sphinx, which is in Egypt.
Right.
Egypt is only separated by from Tunisia by the country Libya. Did he also know that John was coming like Walt did?
You mean Hurley?
Yeah, Hurley knew John
maybe.
Was coming.
Well, no, because he seems shocked to see him.
Yeah, but like subliminally. He was.
Okay, maybe yeah.
From Africa. But a famous Sphinx riddle, what walks on four legs at dawn, on two legs during the day, and three legs at dusk?
You got me. I don't know.
A man, when he's a baby, walks on four legs. An adult, two. And when he's with a cane, that's three legs.
Wow.
The Sphinx is the guardian of a temple, like Smokey.
Ooh, that's good. Good call.
And what's with Abaddon's really old license plate? Like, remember when they showed his license plate? It was one of the old New York license plates, the ones with the Statue of Liberty on it.
Right.
And those ended in the early 2000s.
2003, I believe.
Yeah. So, what do you think the significance is of it? Because I had friends actually call me and talk to me about this. So, what do you think that
he likes to collect old license plates. He drives illegally.
If you don't want to draw attention to yourself, that's a...
Well, no, that would be drawing attention to yourself.
I know, so I'm saying if he doesn't, that's a surefire way to...
All he needed was a red Ferrari.
So, what do you think about it?
I don't know what that means. No theory.
No theory?
No theory on why. We've had some emails on it, and I can't figure it out. I don't know.
So
I don't think it was a continuity error.
No?
I think it was done on purpose.
Yeah, me too. I think it was... it had to be deliberate, because it was blatantly on the screen. And I think mostly anybody would know that that license plate's an older New York license plate. So, why would they want to do it, though?
To mess with our heads?
Just to mess with our heads?
What else? It's the writers. They don't like us.
Well, maybe we'll get into that, or maybe it's just some, like you said, something in there just to mess with us, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And that's it for the Easter egg type stuff. Is there anything you want to bring up from this episode?
Yes, I had a few things.
Okay.
The opening scene where Caesar's looking through the desk.
Uh-huh.
I figured out it couldn't be Eloise Hawkins' desk because it's too clean.
Okay.
Everything's in its perfect place. Who is Roxanne? She's the one that found Locke when she was out scouting.
Ah.
Who's Roxanne? They seem to know. They all seem to know each other's names.
Well, Roxanne does not have to put on the red light.
No, she doesn't. But why do they know? They know everybody's name.
Because I think they were there for a couple days.
Okay. The pilot and the woman that took the outrigger. Don't say baton. No, it's outrigger.
Oh, it's outrigger. It's not pontoon.
No, because we'll take heat for that.
Okay.
It maybe Sun and Frank were working together before they even got on the plane. Because why would Son and Frank decide to take off and...
Son wants to find...
I understand that, but why would Frank go, okay, I'll go with you?
He's this upstanding character.
Do you think they were... But Frank's the pilot of the plane. You don't leave your ship.
But he landed it very nicely, though.
I know, but I'm just saying, maybe they were working together before they got on the plane. How does Widmore know that Ben tried to kill Locke?
How does Ben
know this?
Wait, when did
he say... How does Widmore know that?
When did Widmore say that?
He said that Ben tried to kill him.
Huh.
I've never tried to kill you, like Ben did. Huh. How does he know this? Someone had to tell him something.
Could
it be Saeed, maybe?
Possibly.
It would have to be someone that's talked to Widmore.
And someone that's talked to Locke, too, because Locke was shot or attempted to be killed by Ben at the end of season 3 during Man Behind the Curtain. So... who would know that on the island that could tell Widmore?
Right. But then I also think that Saeed still could be working for Ben. Saeed's the only one that knew that he was at that hotel.
That's true.
Of course, Ben was probably following him.
Ben said he had people following everybody.
Right. So I just think that maybe Saeed's still not...
Really?
I don't know.
You don't trust Saeed?
I trust Saeed, but because I don't want to get him mad at me.
Snap your neck with his legs.
Yeah. Oh, and then Walt, he looks both ways before he crosses the street.
Mm-hmm.
Good kid.
Well, in New York, you have to do that because they just won't stop. They'll just hit you.
Just run you over anyway, especially if you have the wrong license plate.
Exactly.
I hear they get upset with that. Locke died the same way his dad did.
I was going to say that, too.
He got strangled,
yep,
just like his
strangled.
Dad. Well, I guess what goes around comes around, huh?
Well, Locke didn't do it. He just set up the situation.
And now I figured out, I watched the scene again, Ben finds out that Jin is still alive. Maybe he's so concerned. Maybe he kills Locke because we know Locke can't keep a secret, right?
Uh-huh.
Locke's not good. His mouth is always flapping. Maybe Ben has told Mr. Pike, Son's dad, that Jin is dead because maybe Ben is working for Pike.
Huh.
And maybe he can't tell Pike. He's already told Pike that Jin's dead.
Uh-huh.
That's what Pike wants.
So he's just covering his own tracks,
making sure that Locke doesn't spill the beans that he's cut. He's making that, and that's the way to get Sun back to the island, so she can't run back and find out that. Tell her dad. Just throwing it out.
That's
a reason why he was so shocked that, why would he care that Jin was still alive?
Uh huh. That's a good point.
I mean, what other reason would it be?
Maybe just in general, just shocked because he thought he was dead.
Yeah, but it just was like Jin's still alive. Why would he be shocked by that?
We were shocked by it.
I know we were shocked, but why would Ben be? Ben knows everything. Why would he be so shocked that?
Because it was the one thing he didn't know.
Maybe Jin was supposed to die.
Possibly.
Maybe he, you know, in the future, he, you know, he
passes. Ah, that would mess everything up if he was supposed to die.
Yeah, well, that's the way this show is. And I had one email. Someone has said a continuity question. Locke had a cast on his leg, foot, when he died.
Uh-huh.
Would the morgue take the cast off? They probably would, but wouldn't his foot still be swollen up? When Jack's trying to put the shoe on.
Well, the island heals.
He's not on the island.
When you're dead, I don't know if it would swell up again, because there's no life in your body.
It's already swollen up and mangled.
Well, did he put the shoe on? Oh, I guess he put it on both feet.
Yeah. This is Paul from Baltimore. So
that's a good question.
I don't know. I've never...
Well, I don't know if like all that, like, and it was, you know, a couple weeks, I think, after.
No, because his foot still was mangled when he was hanging there. His foot was all still.
No, I'm saying a couple, like when we saw Locke in the coffin, I think it's a couple weeks after he died.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't, that's a good question. Like what happens to wounds after you die? Like, is there still swelling and stuff? Because there's no like blood circulation or anything like that, which is what causes swelling, right?
Right. I thought it was a good email. And I didn't have the answer for it. So,
Well, maybe a medical person out there could tell us.
Someone intelligent.
All right, Jack, are you ready for Next on Lost?
The TV show.
All right, here we go.
Next on Lost. Next on Lost. The TV show. Next on Lost. Next on Lost. Maybe it's next week, maybe it's in a couple days. Cause next on Lost, Lost on Lost.
All right, it's next on...
And this
on...
could contain spoilers.
This could. Very light, though. Because I'm super spoiler-free, and I still read it, and I'm not spoiled. So
you're super spoiler-free.
Super spoiler-free.
Super... I can't do it. Super califram.
I guess this is a sign that we'd never do a morning podcast again.
I couldn't do that even late at night. So it doesn't matter.
Oh, so you're trying to do supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
Yes.
Okay.
I just do super. Super!
It's like 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. 20?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this upcoming Wednesday, we have a new episode, and it's called Le Fleur.
Yes, for the hockey player.
Is it?
I don't know. Grant LeFleur.
But here's the official synopsis. What do you think the synopsis says?
I have no idea. I've been trying to figure out this because I've seen the title for a couple weeks. So yeah. I'm going, okay, it's got to be some French guy.
What's like Jughead? I was just like, what the heck is that going to be about?
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking something French.
Okay.
Maybe Rousseau?
Possible.
Okay.
Oui, oui. All right. Sawyer perpetuates a lie with some of the other island survivors in order to protect themselves from the mistakes of the past on Lost Wednesday, March 11th.
Mistakes of the past.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the mistakes are.
Exactly. Maybe between him and Kate.
Could be.
But I guess we'll see. Lost stars. We already know the stars. But here, let's get to the guest stars because that's more fun. Ready?
Yes. More fun.
Nestor Carbonell as Richard Alpert.
Ooh, cool. We like Richard.
Doug Hutchinson as Horace Goodspeed.
Oh, so maybe we're going to find out that he is actually Charlotte's daddy.
Rico Aylesworth as Amy.
Rico.
Christopher James as Doctor.
I wonder if he's the doctor.
Yeah, the one that got killed.
No, the doctor of the injured people.
Ah, that's a good question.
Yeah, because people have been saying, well, we'll talk about that later. Go ahead.
Okay. Kevin Rankin as Jerry. Patrick.
As Jerry.
Yeah. Fish Feischler as Phil. Molly McGiven as Rosie.
Rosie?
Carla.
Rosie.
Not Rose, it's just Rosie.
Okay.
Carla Buscalia as Heather and John Skinner as other number one.
Could this be a younger Rosie?
No.
A younger Rose and she went by Rosie in earlier?
Maybe.
Maybe, and she's wearing a
Dharma
outfit, maybe? Little Rosie Dharma Rosie. You never know.
All I have to say, though, is that I didn't really like the trailer for this episode too much.
Oh, a lot of people are hoping it's not a... Well, who's under the sack? I've seen the previews. Who has a burlap
sack? Yeah, I don't know. I'm just worried that I don't really want, like, a Kate, so I was just like, ugh. I don't want it to be like a whole like episode just like Kate's story. You know what I mean?
I don't see that being it.
Because like after having six episodes of like so much like information, it's just like, and then we go to like a Kate.
What's there's Sawyer. So many lies on the island.
Yeah.
It could possibly be that what could the lie be that Sawyer told? Well, he's told tons of lies.
Well, he's a con man.
Right. So maybe it's something from his past?
Possibly. Because what I've heard is they're going to go back into like the flashback kind of thing for a little while.
Well, a lot of people are upset with that. I'm cool with it.
What?
The flash, that doesn't bother me. The flashbacks never bothered me.
Uh-huh.
So
I think now they have enough information to flashback too.
Right. Because... Well, we need to find out what's going on, what's happened off the island.
Yeah, exactly.
Also. Well, why didn't Kate, why was, she didn't want to go to the funeral. Why was she so upset? Unless she didn't know Jeremy Bentham was Locke's name. Why would I go to the funeral? I don't.
No, she knew Locke because Locke met her.
Well, she knew Locke, but she didn't know Jeremy. Maybe she didn't.
He probably told her this is where I'm going to be, like off screen or something.
But why wouldn't she go to the funeral? Why would I go to the funeral? Why would I go?
She didn't really give Locke much of the any time of the day
but
when he was there.
She was thinking about him.
Yeah, but Kate was very adamant about not doing anything. So it's weird that all of a sudden she was like, "Let's go."
Well, no. Yeah, something happened.
Something definitely happened. So I'm just I'm a little bit worried about this episode, and I hope it's not too like Sawyer. And
well,
Kate.
You're coming off your John episode,
yeah,
your Locke episode, so it's always a letdown.
It's like
going to Disneyland for 3 days, and then you got to go back to school.
So no, it's like going for Disneyland for 3 days, and then you got to go to Knott's Berry Farm.
I like Knott's Berry Farm. I think my analogy was better. 3 days at Disneyland, yeah, then you have to go back to school.
Yeah.
Or like you get a snow day, and you go back to school.
Yeah. I hope it's not too Kate and Sawyer. I mean, not to diss the shippers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not. And yeah, there could be a little relationship stuff, but learn from Desmond and Penny, Pesmond, the best shipper out there, that you can have a good episode, but also have a strong relationship.
Well, there looks like there's some violence going on too. It looks like Sawyer shoots somebody, so you'll get some action.
All right, so that is this Wednesday on Lost Lafleur. Whenever I think of Lafleur, I think of dodgeball.
Oh, Guy Lafleur.
Huh?
Guy Lafleur.
Who's that?
There's a hockey player.
Ah, okay.
I think.
All right, well, let's get into some listener feedback.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Listener feedback.
All right, so listener feedback time. Got a lot of great calls to get into, Jack.
Oh. Before we go on, did you think this last episode was a great episode?
Yes. And people, I've heard some talk about how they didn't like the episode because it didn't really give anything new.
I actually liked it better the second time I watched it.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm not saying it's the greatest episode ever.
No.
But it was a good episode. I liked it.
I liked it too, and I think it answered a lot of questions in that it showed you what he did. Because if they didn't show that, we'd be like, oh, well, did he meet Kate? What did he say to Kate? But now we can definitely say,
right.
This is what happened. And just because it's not like new stuff.
It still throws questions out there, though. Why they were all against going back to the island.
Uh-huh.
Just, no, I'm not going back. Locke, you're crazy. I'm not going back. You give me a headache.
Mm-hmm.
But now all of a sudden, they all came back.
Yeah,
what changed Hurley's mind? What changed Saeed's mind? What changed Kate's mind?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to know. Jack, he was on board towards the end. We saw that he was ready to go back. But what changed everyone else's mind? And Sun obviously went back. We know why she went back because Jin's alive.
Yeah, exactly. You
know, I don't care. I have a daughter. I'm going back.
Well, the thing is that for some reason some people don't like the episodes where it's like one continuous like storyline like from the past or something like was it the other 48 days and Meet Kevin Johnson.
Right. Well, this was supposed to be a flip episode too, and I don't see why this episode would have gone first before 3:16.
Yeah, I don't either. But I guess if you put it before 3:16, it would have been like a lot. What the heck's going on?
That's true. But we would have. Yeah, I guess so.
But then I don't know. It would have made the other one less effective. But I'm not sure. But, I think just some people don't like the straight storyline of the past kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because it's different. It's not the same, like, Lost usually is either, like, the flashbacks or when they're kind of going all over the place throughout time.
Right.
So it was a different type of episode, but I don't think it was a bad episode by any means. I liked it because, A, I'm a Locke fan. It's my favorite character. but B, it filled in the gaps. It filled in the information on what we didn't know.
And what I was watching again, too, and Terry O'Quinn is a great actor. It just his facial expressions.
Yeah.
Alone, I was just watching it. So people who think I hate Terry O'Quinn.
Wait to hear
calls. No, I don't. Oh, there's calls on that? I don't hate Terry O'Quinn.
Uh-huh.
I think he's a great, great, great actor.
Yes, definitely.
I'm getting hate mail from people saying,
I think,
stop the hate on Locke. It's not like, you know, it's like you're watching the news. You can't blame the reporter for reporting the news, the guy. So if there are there calls on that? Should I?
Just one. It was funny. So
okay, so I'll wait. And
I think someone said on Twitter after Ben strangled John, they should splice the clip of when Terry O'Quinn gets the Emmy ahead of Michael Emerson.
That would be funny. Strangling. Maybe we never thought about that. That could be why.
That's real. That may be really why Ben.
That could be why.
I wanted the Emmy.
But if you go back, you just watch his facial expressions, the way he interacts with all the characters, you know, with Hurley and Kate, and just his, just you see the frustration that, you know,
yeah.
She asks, have you ever been in love? And he's like, oh, you once.
Well,
but I even bought that one, too.
Well, he just like, I can't be like you, Kate, and love every guy that comes across the street.
Oh, ow. Ouch. Hate. Ooh. Which is true.
It's, I'm not like, seriously, how many dudes has she made out with on that show?
Quite a few.
All right.
And the show's not over yet.
Exactly.
Either.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kate. We're just picking on you. All right. Are you ready for the first set of calls?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Hi, guys. This is Mark Mann in Connecticut. And I just want to say, Jack, you're harshing too much on Locke. I know it's your favorite thing to do, but Locke never wanted to be a leader. He never, in his whole life, ever wanted to be a leader. He wanted to belong. He wanted to be part of a group, whether it was the commune or even playing geek games in the box company. He never tried to set out to be a leader. The problem is once he reached the islands, people started telling him he must be a leader. He must be a leader. He's tried. He's done tried all the different ways to be a leader. He's tried to be cunning and slick, assertive and violent and everything that, Jack, you keep on telling him he needs to be, and none of it works for him. Didn't you see the look on his face when when Ben started telling him that he was important? He didn't welcome that. It was awful for him to hear that. And yet he figured, I'll try it one more time. And then Ben kills him. Now he rises on the island and you say, oh, he shouldn't be talking to Caesar. He shouldn't be being out front with Caesar. I think Locke has finally reached the point in his life where he's just going to be Locke. He's going to be John Locke, and he's not going to worry about trying to be tricky or assertive or whatever everybody else thinks that a leader should be. He's just going to play. If he's supposed to be important, then it's John Locke that's supposed to be important, and he's going to be John Locke. And Jack, leave him alone. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Anthony or Guantwe from your forums from Philadelphia. I just got done watching The Life and Death of Jeremy Bentham last night, and it got me really thinking, if Widmore's freighter knew where the island was at that point in time in order for them to get all the mercenaries and science team onto the island, why didn't Widmore just go on the freighter himself to get to the island, I mean, considering that he knew where it was? I don't know. I mean, it just kind of seems kind of weird that him and Locke both – or not Locke, him and Ben both have the same kind of idea in mind to both kind of usurp the leadership again. And if Widmore really wanted to get back and he was exiled, then he should have went. I don't know if he really wants Locke to lead or not. So this is all up to see in the next few episodes. Just felt like I would leave a message. Namaste.
Hey, Jane Jack. This is Jimmy in Georgia. I just had a quick little thing to share with you guys. I was rewatching Back to the Future tonight, and never really paid attention to this before, but the number that Jennifer gives Marty is 555, which equals 15 if you add those together. 4823. Anyway, and I'm a big fan of Back to the Future and Lost, and so I just thought that was kind of fun that Jennifer's phone number is basically some of the numbers. That's pretty fun. All right, you guys have a great week. Thanks for the show.
Hey, J-Boys. This is Brian from L.A. I've got a problem with the episode that we just saw, which is this. We know from the end of season 3 that Jack, upon discovering that John had killed himself, which is clearly just within a day or two of John killing himself, is a drunk, drugged, crazy person, desperate to get back to the island. We learn that he tries to kill himself upon hearing the news. We hear him shout to Kate, "We've got to go back!" And we learn that he's been taking weekly plane rides, hoping to crash back on the island. Unfortunately, in this episode, we discover that the day John does kill himself, he visits Jack. Jack seems to be quite sane, declares he has no reason or need whatsoever to go back to the island, and seems to be an employee of the hospital, which seems like a lot happens to him in those couple of days, that he becomes crazy, that he loses his job, that he suddenly desperately wants to go back to the island, and that he spent months every week trying to get on a plane hoping it will crash, all of which can't possibly happen in those 2 or 3 days. So I have a theory, which is that Carlton and Damon are suffering from the sickness. That is all. Maybe you can explain that discrepancy. Thanks. Keep up good work. Bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Carl in Birmingham. Love the show and all that jazz. I had a quick theory that don't know if anyone's come up with yet or not, but you know, the whole thing about there having to be symmetry with the Jira people and who was on that plane as to who was on the 815 flight. Well, after last night's episode, I'm thinking that Ben is in the Sawyer role because who killed somebody right before they had to take the flight and who was taking the flight to get away from a murder that they committed? That would be Ben. So Ben is playing the Sawyer role in the 316 crash. Anyway, that's my little theory, just more evidence that the Riders of Lost are just the smartest sons of guns on the earth. Keep up the good work. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Thank you for those calls.
Before I forget, too, there was also someone on the beach that looked like Charlie.
Really?
Yeah, if you look at it, because we've had a few emails and stuff about that, but there is someone that looks like Charlie that this call jogged my memory. So Ben was Sawyer. Yeah, twins. But that makes sense. He did kill someone before he got on the plane.
Yes, yeah, another parallel.
So I agree with that. And then Brian, Damon and Carlton have the sickness.
Possibly. I think that I don't necessarily believe that after Locke died, they went back in a couple. I think it was, you know, a couple, 3, 4, 5
weeks.
Well,
I think what messed Jack up the most was Locke telling him his dad was still
alive. Yeah, exactly. And that's,
as you can see it in his face.
Yeah.
He obviously feels guilt that he's the one, the reason his dad was dead in the first place,
because
he squealed on him.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I think that's more than anything is what has Jack going into his
yeah, definitely
drug rage. And then we have Jimmy, the numbers from Jennifer's number in Back to the
Future.
Yeah,
that's funny.
So, a coincidence?
I think not.
I think not. Anthony, Widmore, why wouldn't he just get on the freighter himself? I think because he couldn't go, I don't think he can go to the island till Ben's dead, right?
I don't know. Like, if there's a war between the two, it'll be, you know, I think they'd both be on. There's some reason why he can't go back to the island, and maybe we'll figure that out.
Maybe they can't have two leaders on the island at the same time at one point.
Possibly. I'm just not sure how that works.
Maybe that's the rule change. Maybe something going on there.
Yeah, I don't know, and we'll have to see. Maybe they'll explain that. Because, I mean, it's a good point. He wasn't on the freighter. He could go back to the island, but he didn't do it.
Right. And he couldn't go back till, well, Kimi was going to kill everybody. Which brings me to the point where Locke is trusting, Widmore.
Uh-huh.
Didn't he throw the knife in Naomi's back?
Uh-huh.
Who was working for Widmore? Now, wouldn't Widmore have known that since he knew that Ben tried
to kill? I don't
think
Widmore really cared.
I'm just saying, but
why would
Locke all of a sudden, he stabbed Naomi in the back?
Uh-huh.
Because he thought Widmore was bad. Widmore was the wrong, because he's listening to Ben. Ben's, you know, all this stuff. But all of a sudden now, Widmore says, okay, you're special, John. But all of a sudden now Locke is trusting Widmore.
No, I think he killed Naomi more on the point that he didn't want anybody leaving the island. So that's why he killed her.
Okay.
That was the reasoning for that, I believe.
All right. And then Mark, the hating on Locke. Again, I don't hate Locke. But okay, this is my main problem with Locke.
Okay.
Who did Locke go to and say, you need to be the leader of this island?
Jack.
Now, if I went to somebody and said, you need to be our leader, I wouldn't spend every waking moment trying to disrupt what the leader is trying to do.
What is he trying to disrupt?
He always worked against Jack.
I think he's trying to convince Jack that this place was special.
I understand that. But if I appointed someone, I said, hey, you're the leader. I get behind my leader. I don't do everything I can to undermine the leader. He fought with him all the time.
Well, I think it's like any type of like, not second command, but or like confidant. It's just like there's always, if any kind of like true leadership works, there's got to be someone like the counter to leadership.
I understand that, but you don't appoint someone as leader and then do everything in your power. He blew up the submarine.
Well, I don't think he appointed Jack as leader. He said they're looking for a leader.
Yeah, and you need to be this guy.
Well, yeah, so I don't know if he like said, you're going to be the leader, but he said they're looking to you, Jack.
And I get the whole Locke thing. He's a wannabe. We're all wannabes. We all want to be something more than what we're not, right?
Yes.
But how many times you got to be getting fooled on the same thing?
He's had a tough life.
I understand he's had a tough life, but it's like, you know, again, do you blame the Anchorman for reporting the bad news? I'm just analyzing the character.
I'm just
saying flat out, I go, why does this guy keep getting fooled?
My stance is just wait till the end. Locke will prove himself.
He could turn out to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. But right now he gets fooled over and over and over again.
He woke up.
Right. But I just like I said, if I said, hey, okay, you're gonna be my leader, at least I'm gonna try and go a couple episodes working with him.
All right.
I think Locke his role would be as a good foot soldier.
Uh-huh.
And he never seemed to grasp
it. I never thought of him as a good foot soldier. I just saw him like kind of a wizard kind of guy, just kind of like on his own journey. Which, for the most part, he has. I think
he's
running with Jack on trying just to convince Jack that they're, you know, stop being so like
he is on his
forward minded.
But that's
realize
his problem.
That something special is going on.
When
here.
You're part of a team, you're all trying to survive. You can't be doing your own thing. That's what frustrated me. You have to work. If you're going to survive,
you all
have to work together.
He got them boars. He satisfied his need, and he was going to do something else, too.
First with that, yeah, but then he found that hatch. And that completely changed his whole makeup. He got
obsessed with the hatch.
He gets obsessed with things. Why did he lose Helen? He got obsessed with his hatred towards his dad, which I can't fault that.
Yeah.
I'd be upset if my dad stole my kidney and then you know, tossed me aside and said, hey, we're not going hunting anymore, son. Like I said, I know he's tormented. He's had a rough life.
I love pheasant.
I don't know. Isn't there an email over there? You have something with John?
Which part?
We should stop it now.
Let's see. The haven't got a chance to the podcast yet, but I think the brain aneurysm that Helen died from was maybe caused by the flashes. I just thought it was interesting that they used that as a reason of how she died. Also, even after Christian told Locke that nothing good ever came from listening to Ben, he listened to him anyway.
Exactly. That's my point. He don't listen to Ben.
Well, he was on his suicide.
Come on, there. Locke, wake up.
All right.
I think he could turn out, like you said, obviously I think he's going to turn out to be.
Uh-huh.
You think, well, I'll ask you this question. You're the Locke fan. Will he turn out to be the person you think?
Yes.
In the end.
Yes.
So we'll grow to love him.
I already love him, but yes.
Okay. I have an email who's this is from Football Jesus.
Okay.
I don't really care about Locke. I want to know what happened to the others. Aren't you guys curious what's going on with them? Have they been traveling through time too? I don't think they have been. I don't think the others have been traveling through time.
No. Richard said, we didn't go anywhere. You left.
Right.
So they're just still in there.
But time. Are you curious? Because are you curious what happened to the others?
No, because we'll go back to them. We always do.
All right.
All right. You ready for the next set of calls?
Yes.
All right. Here we go.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Scott from Los Angeles. I just finished listening to your last podcast, and I had a theory about the plane that Lopetus so gracefully landed on the other island. I think that plane is salvageable, and I think with the semi-built runway or whatever they left on that island, I think they'll be able to actually take off at the end of the show. So that'll be their ticket off of the island for those that want to go. And that's my theory. So great work. I think you guys sounded a little bit grumpy this last episode. I'm not sure if it was because it was a Locke episode and there was some tension there. I'm not sure, but Keep up the good work. Okay.
Hey, Jay and Jack, this is Sean from Superior. I'm hoping you guys can clear up a debate a couple of us are having. In the last episode, Charles Widmore said he was the leader. And then in the next sentence, he said, we protected the island peacefully for over three decades. So the debate is, does that mean he was the leader of the others for those 30 years or 30 plus years? Or was he only the leader part-time, and he's just referring to the time he spent on the island? So my friend, one of them thinks he was only the leader for a very short time. I'm tending to think he was the leader most of the time, or even that whole 30 years. Richard always seems to be present even when there is a leader. And when Locke went up to him, he asked for Richard. He didn't actually ask to talk to the leader, so they took him to Richard. So just want to get your guys' opinion on it. Thank you.
Hey, guys. This is James from Chicago, and I am in total agreement about the crackpot theory of the week, in that Helen's still being alive, and they just showed her a grave, or they just showed Locke a grave to manipulate him. And the reason for that, I think that could be true, is we've still yet to uncover the identity of Locke's son. Because the obituary said that Jeremy Bentham was, had a son. So I'm assuming, I mean, it's possible that the son can just, you know, appear at some point on his own, I guess. But I assume that in this episode we were going to get to see Helen, and that she was going to reveal that she had a son, and that was going to mess up Locke. And maybe that was what was going to send him over the edge. So I don't know. But I'm thinking that Helen is still alive, and I thought that after I saw the episode, and when I heard the crackpot theory, I was thrilled. So keep up the great work, guys. I'm in love with the podcast. I want to marry it. All right, well, take care. Bye.
Hey, guys, this is Katie from Louisiana. I think I have an idea, maybe, on why the plane crashes ended up in two different timelines. Maybe when the Oceanic Six came back, they had to come back in the state in which they left. And if we assume that Sun was the lady that left with Lapidus in the boat, and that her and Locke are originally some of the two plane original plane crash people who ended up in the other timeline, will. Locke came back dead, and Sun came back no longer pregnant. So maybe because they were in a different state than when they left, they didn't end up in the same time as the rest of our original Losties.
Hey, guys. I'm listening to your podcast, but I was listening to the listener feedback, and I had to stop and give you guys a call because it seems to me that people seem to think that just because if they think Ben's bad, that means Widmore has to be good. Or if Widmore's bad, Ben has to be good. And it's an either-or situation. Whereas my husband and I think they're both evil. It's just a power play for the island, and they're willing to make anyone involved pawns, including their own daughters. And in terms of Ben killing Locke, I have to give my husband all the credit for this one, but he made the point that basically Ben just wants to get back to the island. And he figures that if he tails the six survivors, that's his ticket back. And basically once John gave him that information that he had to go to Eloise Hawkins, he now is in a position of power to manipulate everything. But he basically just wants back on that island and back in control. So anyway, that's our theories. Great podcast, and oh yes, Tara from PA. Thanks, bye.
All right, thank you for those calls.
I agree with that. I think they're both bad.
Uh-huh.
It's just who's the worst.
Yeah, exactly. Who's the worst evil?
Well, going back to Locke, I can see where his problem would be who to trust.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, do you trust the bad Widmore, do you trust the bad Ben? But they're both bad, and they both have the same objective. They want to get back to the island.
Yeah, they want their side to win.
Right. Instead of just working together peacefully, and they could both have the island, but they want the power that the island has.
Exactly.
So they're both evil, evil people. You were thinking that Widmore was actually good.
I thought possibly maybe he is a good guy, but it's so hard when Ben
he
is
snapped,
so evil.
He snapped the neck of one of his fellow. Well, you know he's working for peace and all that stuff.
Well, he was young and brash back then. He was 17.
Oh, so you can forget he wasn't an adult yet.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you snap, could you snap someone's neck at 17
no.
like that? I don't
no.
think I could do it now.
I could. I could never do that.
And the plane crash. Katie said the plane crash. That Sun is no longer pregnant. What do you think?
So she left when she was pregnant, and she wasn't pregnant when she came back.
Right.
It's a possibility.
Yeah, but well, she can't be pregnant because she's already had the baby.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, she left when she was pregnant, and when she came back, she wasn't pregnant. So
we think that's why she's in a different time zone. Why they just got in different time zones?
I think it may be more random. Actually, it can't be random because Jack ended up like in the same place that he well not but the same kind of situation he was last time.
But Hurley wasn't.
Yeah, Hurley wasn't, and
well, because Charlie didn't end up in lagoon, and Kate was Kate on the rocks. We don't know where Kate
was. Well, actually, we don't know where Kate was, and we don't know where Hurley was post-crash, exactly post-crash.
You think we'll see that in a flashback?
That'd be kind of a cool flashback to see, like a flashback to Hurley, like what happened to him right after the crash of 8:15.
Yeah.
Be interesting. Probably never happened, but it'd be interesting.
And then James agreed with the crackpot theory. Who doesn't agree with crackpot theories? I really think that I watched it again. I think that Locke was just being told that Helen was dead because to keep him on his mission.
Yeah.
Because after he talked to Kate, he was completely going like.
You sure though that that she'll come back though, Helen?
I'm not 100% sure. I think we'll find out that she was still alive.
Okay.
I think that Locke will find out that she was still alive.
Okay.
And maybe he'll find out when he's back on the island. But no, that would hurt his. Wouldn't that just throw him over the edge again?
Probably. That would probably.
I think we'll find out that she's still alive. And then, well, what about Locke's son, though? Does Locke have a son?
That'd be interesting if he actually had a son, a successor.
I think the only problem with that, if he did find out he had a son, that'd been one less reason for him to go back to the island.
Well, exactly.
Unless,
yeah.
You know what would have been better? If we found out his son was on the island.
Ah, very much so.
With Helen. And then Sean, okay, was Widmore the protector of the island? Was he the leader of the island for the whole 30 years?
I don't think
part-time?
So. I think he made a good point that, you know, he may have been part of the people that led it for 30 years, but he probably wasn't the leader for all 30 of those years.
Now, we assume he got out before the purge, obviously, because he's still alive, right?
Yes.
Okay, did he take someone with him?
Can you take somebody with you?
Did he take someone we know as Penny? Maybe she was Annie, people are saying.
That's a good point.
Maybe that Penny is Annie. Penny, Annie.
But Penny doesn't look anything like Annie.
I know. I'm just.
Okay.
Well, with Penny, he's on the island for 30 years. He was 17, so he's 47. Penny had to be born. How old is Widmore now?
But Annie was about the same age as Ben. And Ben's in his, 40s or 50s?
I'd say.
Did that put Penny in her 40s or 50s?
That's true. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay.
And Scott, the plane crash, because, you know, a lot of people are saying we got to stop calling it a plane crash. Well, if you watch Caesar says these are the victims from the crash. These are the ones, not victims, be the ones that got hurt from the crash. I didn't call it a crash. They called it a crash. Anytime, even if you don't, the plane doesn't disintegrate, it's still a crash. It's crash landing.
Yeah.
So, but Scott's saying that the semi-built runway they could take up, it would have to be a long, long runway for a jet to take off.
They need a lot of space.
Plus, it's going to have to, you're going to have to be able to turn it around.
Yeah.
Because it's probably at the end of the runway. There's no room to turn it around.
Yeah, and I don't think they landed, because that runway there, if I don't even think it was a runway, but even if it was, it was pretty small in what we saw.
Plus, they weren't using like bulldozers or anything.
No, they're just like clearing out a path,
clearing out rocks, and Kate was doing it with a dress on. So, I don't know. But yeah, you know, would they take? Maybe they could use it to float off the island.
I don't know about it floating.
Maybe get like a there'll be like a little porta potty, and you use a plastic part, and you connect it to the top of the plane. Just enough so it can push you past the waves and past that breakpoint. What do you think?
And you draw angel wings on the porta potty.
Yeah. And then you have a little Sail. Then you could have a little volleyball. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting
All right, well,
crazy.
I have an email here.
Okay.
From Danny from Alaska. What in the world is so hard to believe about Ben choking John to death? Your listener feedback is all about, wow, I can't believe Ben did that, blah, blah, blah. To me, it's simple. Ben wanted John back on the island. He knows that John will be resurrected once he gets there and that there is going to be a war, and John is the key to that war. But both Ben and Whitmore admitted that John is what they each need for that war. So Ben didn't kill Locke out of hatred or meanness. He did it out of necessity. If Locke had killed himself, perhaps he would not be resurrected. Who knows? I think Ben is not the diabolical dude that everyone thinks he is. He's doing what is necessary to save the island. Easy peasy. Love you guys. Keep the good work.
Now, I agree with that. Because I said, you know, at the end of the scene where Ben's, you know, saying goodbye to Locke, he's crying. He's upset. He felt bad.
He's not crying.
He felt remorse for killing Ben, for killing Locke.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
All right, what's Locke's big, and why is he so important to the war? What, he has to be on the winning side. Maybe he has the secrets of how to win the war. Well, you know what? We see him playing Risk as Colonel Locke. Maybe he is a colonel. Maybe he is a colonel on the island.
Maybe I'm the colonel on the island.
No, okay. Maybe
best Risk player ever.
Maybe he, seriously, is he strategic enough in war that he has to be on
the winning
side? I don't
know. I don't think it's so much that. It's got to just because he's special. He's obviously. I mean, he's been killed twice and he lives. So
yeah. Well, he's been pushed out a window. He's been. And men, it was in a car accident.
Yeah.
Survived that. Looked
He's
like
invincible.
A pretty bad accident.
Wouldn't you like to have an invincible guy on your team?
That's true. He knows how to hunt. I got an email here from Mark. You hear I'm trying to say something nice about Locke, and you're not even going with me on it.
Well, because I don't know. I just, I think it's more, I can't think of what his value is to that war yet. I don't know. Well, I don't see him as like, take the troops in, blah, blah, blah. I don't see him as that kind of guy.
We know he knows how to blow things up.
That's true.
This one's from Mark. Here's a follow-up. If Dharma Initiative members were murdered, Ben and company purge, and there was Dharma Station in the U.S., shouldn't someone from Dharma Initiative have contacted the authorities about this? Okay, and what about the people at University...
Because what they're doing is very top secret.
Yeah, they wouldn't say anything. And what about the people at University of Michigan? Where's the DeGroots? Wouldn't the U.S. military be interested in 18 soldiers missing from Jughead 50 years ago?
Well, it's the same kind of thing that happens, you know, at the Bermuda Triangle. Things just go missing.
Yeah. Well, it's probably they were on a secret mission, too.
Yeah, top secret.
And when you're on a secret mission,
yeah, there's no...
You've seen Stripes, right?
Yes.
You know, they went under, you know, under a secret mission, and all those guys are dead, so...
It's some...
So it has to be something like that it's a secret mission, and they're just not. Well, maybe they... no, I never...
Like, isn't it like people that, that took in the atom bomb in Hiroshima. Isn't that, weren't they like top secret? Like if anything happened, they just like, nobody would know.
Yeah.
It didn't exist or something.
Well,
like
it's
that.
Like the people that used to like spy planes. They used to have cyanide.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were supposed to take it. Was that guy's name? Gary Frank. I'm blank guy's name. He got captured by the Russians. He was supposed to take a cyanide
plane, uh-huh.
And he didn't do it. It just, like when you're on a secret mission, you're not supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. Top secret.
Right.
You don't exist. All right. Are you ready for the next set of calls?
Yes.
All right. Here we go.
Hello. This is Richard Alpert's numero uno fan. And I was just calling with like some comments. When the 316 episode, I was thinking, like, since John Locke is sort of the Christ figure, I wonder what all the other figures are. And I got to thinking, maybe Ben Linus is Judas, since he killed Locke in the most recent one, Jeremy Bentham's Life and Death or whatever. And and the other ones are Jack is Thomas, and, like, that's it. Bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Jack from Akron, Ohio. What do you guys think about maybe Christian Shepherd was murdered in Australia, and that's why Ben had to murder Locke to make the flight back to the island as close as he could to the original flight? It's just a thought. Let me know what you think, and keep up the great podcast.
Hey, Jay and Jack, it's Josh from Ohio. Might be too late for the Thursday podcast, but John Locke is the four-toed statue. You heard it here first, or probably 103rd, but when he was walking in his room before he hung himself, it showed his cast, and it showed the four toes. Now, I know there might have been one little pinky toe hiding in that cast, but they showed a nice close-up shot of his four toes sticking out of that cast. So, I don't know if you've got any other calls on that or not, but we finally figured it out. John Locke is the four-toed statue. Sorry about your luck, Jack. Later.
Yo, Jay and Jack, love the show. Question, what the hell is going on in Lost? You can beat that out. So anyway, I have a theory, and I want to call in with it. It's pretty simple. The reason that Ben and Whitmore hate each other is because Whitmore married Annie, and she is the mother of Penelope. Yes. That's our theory. All right. And I don't know, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to stick to it. All right, this is Miles from Montreal. Peace out. Keep doing what you do.
Jen Jack, this is Todd, Manchester, New Hampshire. Last night's episode was crazy. I kept thinking about Ben, and the question that kept coming to my mind was, when Ben showed up in the room, did he intend on killing John Locke? And after going over and over it in my mind, I've decided that he didn't, and there's a couple reasons why. First of all, after he strangled John Locke, he made it look like he hung himself, which when he walked in the room, John was in the process of hanging himself anyway. So, you know, I don't see why he would fake what John was already going to do anyways. And I think the key is, my initial thoughts were I thought Ben was evil after I watched it, but then when I was thinking about it today, I think he changed his mind after he heard that John knew about Eloise and where she was. And I think at that point, Ben needed to prevent the possibility of Whitmore finding out where she was. So I don't think he came into the room intending to kill him. And I think once he knew the information, or knew that John knew the information about Jin and Eloise, that he had no choice. So, also, I'm still playing catch-up on some of your previous episodes here, and you guys were talking about Richard Alpert, whether or not he's a ghost, but we know for a fact he's been off the island. You know, he interviewed, I can't remember her name. He interviewed the woman there before she took her job and went to the island. He was also there when Locke was born, and he interviewed, he went to find out if he was their leader, too. So I don't think he's a ghost. I also think it was weird that while all the others in the camp were wearing the army uniforms, that when he walked out of the tent, he was not. I believe he was wearing either period clothes or modern clothes. They were definitely not the army uniforms. So where did he get that? And has he jumping around independent of all these other people as well? So something's up with him as well. Hey, great show, guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Thank you for those calls.
I've actually seen Richard Alpert at the Gap. So that's where he gets his clothes.
They were pretty gap-ish.
He doesn't go to the army surplus. He goes to the Gap. I still think it could be a ghost, though.
You think so?
I don't know. Who knows what's going on with Richard? I go back and forth. I don't know.
That man's a mystery.
But Ben, I think Ben killed Locke because of Jin. After watching again, Eloise Hawk is Whitmore knew that Eloise was in Los Angeles.
But he did kill him once he found out about Eloise.
But watch it again. Did he kill him because of that, or was he going to kill him anyway once he found out Jin?
Okay.
He had to gain Locke's trust so Locke would turn his back on him.
Uh-huh.
Right? Or just take his mind. But why did he go through all the trouble? You know, Locke's in kind of like a shady, it looked like a kind of a shady hotel.
Yeah.
People, you know, why would he have to go through all the trouble? String him up again. Why did he have to go through all the trouble wiping everything down? Maybe it was because he didn't want someone...
Probably Widmore's team to check
right,
it out.
Right, Widmore's team might find the body that they're able to figure out
that Ben killed it. Yeah.
But wouldn't someone... Widmore was... Of course, Abaddon got killed.
Well, yeah, Widmore, I think...
Wouldn't there be another guy watching Locke?
Exactly. I would have put a couple more people than just Abaddon.
Right. It just seems to me that maybe Widmore and Ben are still working together.
You think so?
Maybe it's just an all-elaborate scheme to fool these guys... There's something else going on here.
I agree.
There's something else going on here that we don't know. I think Widmore and Ben could be working together.
Okay.
I don't know. Just throwing it out there. And then Miles, Ben, the reason Ben is upset with Widmore is Well, because Widmore married Penny.
Annie.
That would be just gross. Sorry. If married Annie, what do you think?
So Widmore stole his girl.
And then he kicked him and threw him off the island.
I'd say that I could see that in Ben because he gets very possessive of the girls he likes.
Right. Yeah, he does.
Like Juliet. So I'd say it's a very good possibility.
And Juliet was a girl that Richard was interviewing off the island.
Yes.
Josh, John Locke is the four-toed statue.
Well, if you see it, it's like the picture of the cast. He has like four toes showing him. It's probably his pinky toes just hidden in the cast.
Maybe that's the reason John Locke wanted to kill himself is because his pinky toe was messing. He couldn't live without his pinky toe.
He couldn't go wee-wee all the way home.
Right. So that's so is John Locke, because this is his theory, he's almost sticking to it. What do you think?
What, about the four-toed statue?
Is John Locke going to turn out to be the four? Maybe that's why he's so important. Maybe that's why he's so important to the island. He's the god of the island.
I could see that being a possibility that John doesn't have, his four toes.
But no, is he the god of the island? Am I going to turn out at the end thinking, okay, I was wrong. Everything I said about John Locke, I was 100% wrong.
I say no, but that's because more that you're stubborn, and if you pick a stance, you're going to stick with that no matter what anyway.
No, I'm pretty good about it.
A la Rose and Bernard.
Which may turn out to be true. But anyway, so will I in the end say, okay, you know what, the last final episode of Lost next season, we go, what are we at, about 27 more episodes ago?
I'm not sure.
Will I say, wow, I was completely wrong about John Locke?
Probably not. And that's just, I'm not holding my breath for you.
4 years of ranting about this guy.
That's what I'm saying. It's been, you have too much invested in being against him.
And again,
before him,
I don't hate Terry O'Quinn. Just throwing it out there. I love Terry O'Quinn.
But yeah, it's
and just, you know what's funny is I don't hate John. People think I hate John Locke. Uh-huh. I don't hate John Locke. How can I hate John Locke? He's a great character on the show, but I have to put out my opinion if I don't think the guy's, if the guy's playing, I just think the guy makes too many mistakes.
Uh-huh.
And it just bugs me.
Okay, all right.
That's what I'm saying. Don't shoot the messenger.
Oh, man.
And then Jack said that maybe Christian Shepherd was murdered, a la like John Locke.
I could see that.
Now, wasn't Anna Lucio his
bodyguard?
Bodyguard?
I remember he left her when she was like, no, enough. You don't need to go drink anymore.
Hmm. Did she? Did she leave him? Did she go back and, because we know she killed that guy that
Why would she kill him? She had like, in that episode, she had like no reason to kill him.
We don't know what the animal. She just snapped she killed Goodwin. She snapped
because that was in self defense.
She snapped Nathan's neck. Because she thought he was bad. No, Goodwin. No. Sorry, Goodwin killed.
Yeah, Goodwin
but
killed.
But she didn't like him.
No.
Didn't trust him.
No.
And we had Richard Alpert's.
I mean, if you just look at the guy, he's not very trustworthy looking. He did have the creepies going on.
Really? So that's why he deserved to die?
No, I'm just saying, but remember that episode? He did look very creepy.
Well, that's what they were trying to make him out, because exactly. It was Nathan, Ethan, the whole thing going on. So, poor Nathan. And then Richard.
I still don't trust him.
So here, hold on a second.
I'm kidding.
I take heat for not trusting Locke and everything he's done wrong. You don't trust Nathan, and the only thing he did was he went to the restroom and took him 2 hours.
It's too suspicious.
So I take all this hate mail.
With all that roughage out there, it shouldn't take 2 hours. It just doesn't add up.
I can see why you'd be a little suspicious. And then Richard Albert's number one fan. Ben is, Locke is Christ-like, Jack is Thomas, Ben is Judas.
Yeah. Do you have any else? Anybody else?
I had nothing else to add.
I guess it's another thing the parallel is, Jesus and his disciples.
I'm still stuck on Nathan took 2 hours to go to the restroom. And it shouldn't have taken that long.
I mean, all those mangoes, all the passion fruit. I mean,
yeah, I agree. Well, maybe
natural laxatives. I mean, 2 hours, seriously.
Well, he didn't come back. If he would have come back with a newspaper, then I would say, okay, I got it. New York Times, you were busy.
Oh man,
this podcast. We'll never going to record in the mornings ever again.
All right, you ready for the next set of calls? Hey, let me read this email. Get my emails out of the way.
All right, let me read mine too.
Jose from Mexico. Hey, Jay and Jack, love the show. Jack, I loved your song. I was running this to my iPod and it made me run faster. I thought there was a pack of sick, angry dogs chasing me. Ha! Roasted. Very nice. Locke is my favorite character, but he is not a leader yet. I think this episode will mark a turning point in his character, and he will see him become the person he has been described as by Richard, Widmore, and Ben.
Do you agree with that?
I know. Yes, you probably agree. I agree.
No, I'm not talking about the song part.
No, both.
That he will turn out to be the leader.
Yes.
So I will be proven wrong in the end.
Yes, according to you.
I'm not. It could happen.
I'm saying you're going to be proven wrong, but I don't know if you'll accept the fact that you're wrong.
If he becomes the leader,
uh-huh,
and he does something positive on the island that helps who's going to turn out to be the good guys, though?
Don't know. We'll find out.
Will Locke make the right decision? Like in the one call, people are saying that Locke's doing the right thing by talking to Caesar and all this. I still say no.
Really?
You got to sit back. Locke is being Locke. You got to sit back, and he's always been burned because he doesn't think a couple steps ahead.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we'll find out. And then Al from Fort Collins. Did the others know that Algiers was going to crash? They were building a landing strip. And remember, Juliet was talking about Algiers, that she knew something.
Yeah.
Well, how did she know about the airlines?
That's a good point.
No one else knew. You know, Sawyer had been flies all over the place, and no one else knew about Algiers Airlines.
She's well-versed in airlines. Or is a Delta man, I guess.
Do you think that that's a part of the Dharma Initiative? That who owns Algiers? Do you think maybe son's dad owns Algiers?
Possibly, or maybe Widmore, or one of the people.
Do you think it has that airlines? It's not like a random airline. It's owned by someone that we've seen.
Possibly. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's. That's a good question. I don't know.
I think it is owned by somebody.
Okay.
I don't know who yet, but it's owned by someone we've seen. It's either Widmore, Ben, maybe the Dharma Initiative.
Uh huh.
Maybe the Groots. They didn't really look like they're into money though.
No.
So, Widmore, Mr. Pike, or Ben. One of those threes owns the.
I'd like to see. I want to see the story of the DeGroots and see what. I don't know. We haven't seen.
Are we ever going to get that story?
I don't know.
We're running out of time.
Exactly. So I guess we'll see. Are you ready for the next set of calls?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
Hey there, guys. This is John Gainesville. I'm just calling with somewhat of a theory. I theorized that in the last episode, The Life and Death of Jeremy Bentham, that particular episode solidifies Terry O'Quinn for an Emmy nomination this year. I mean, he did an excellent job. And I think especially, you know, when you see him on the island there in his suit and just his acting was superb. And, you know, I'm not going to say who. There's somebody who kind of hates on Locke, but don't hate on Terry O'Quinn, man. He is doing a stellar job. So I'm going to call it now that's going to, you know, kind of push him over the edge there. Alrighty.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Monty from Spokane. First time, long time. I want to say I love the podcast, and I had more of an observation about Faraday and him still wearing his tie with the white shirt. I was in the video store the other day, and on the season one DVD, you see Jack standing there with a white shirt and a black tie. So I was thinking that Faraday is the new Jack in the sense of you've got Locke, who's the man of faith, and you've got Jack, who is the man of science, and they had to bring Faraday in to have a new man of science, a new thinker. Anyway, I think that Jack is going to become the new man of faith somehow, or he's going to become more of a man of faith. And so in order to balance that out, they had to bring Faraday in, and the reason he's not taking off his tie is because he's becoming more and more the leader that Jack used to be. And you kind of saw that in the first couple episodes where he's leading the guys that are flashing back and forth in time. So anyway, Faraday's the new man of science, and I think he's going to really lead the people that are still on the island like Jack used to. Anyway, love the podcast. Talk to you guys later. Let me know what you think. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Eddie from Ames, Iowa. I just thought of something today that I've never heard mentioned before, and just want to know what you guys thought. My question was, why is Locke still not telling anybody that the island cured his legs? It seems at this point that information, telling it to like the Oceanic 6 or whoever, would be very helpful in convincing people that the island is special. And if you remember, only a few people actually know that they're still alive. I mean, obviously the others and Ben know, and Rose knows from when she saw Locke in the airport before 8:15 took off, and Anthony Cooper told Sawyer at one point. But other than that, nobody else knows, and it seems like an odd thing for them to still be keeping a secret, especially since it's not nearly as, untrustworthy and, all that stuff. But, I mean, I was recalling, like, the scene in at the end of season 4 where Jack says he doesn't believe in miracles, and John doesn't say anything in response. Like, he could have just told him, well, you know, a miracle happened to me, my legs got cured. So it seems like a good way to sway people. So, yeah, hopefully they'll reveal that soon enough. But anyways, that was it. Just let me know what you think. Bye.
Hey, guys, it's Radio Mike here in Boston. Great episode this week. You know, as I continue to rewatch this episode, I am still not convinced that Ben is the bad guy, despite the completely psychotic behavior he exhibited this week. I firmly believe that Widmore is every bit as psycho as Ben. We just don't see it. When he wants something, he's the nicest guy in the world. That scene with Locke, nicest guy in the world, right? But he was lying, you know? We peacefully ran that island for years. No, he didn't. He was killing people. The guy's full of it. You know, think of the way he treated Desmond. Think of the way he treated Sun that time during their encounter. He is a very ruthless person. On the other hand, Ben, look, Ben is a bad guy. Ben is, trust me, it was tough to watch him kill Lot. But think about this. He really looked like it hurt him. And what he said to him, you know, I'm really going to miss you, John, that wasn't for anybody but himself. Why would he say that? I don't think they would have shown us that if there wasn't a reason to show us that. You know, and who has done a selfless act for the island? Ben did not have to go off the island. He didn't. Ben did not have to go off the island, but he did. He turned the wheel and went off the island. He didn't want to, but he did it. He made a sacrifice. He's the only one of those two I've seen made a sacrifice. So despite what everyone else thinks, I'm still going to say that Ben will eventually be the good guy. That's my theory. I'm sticking to it. Bye.
Jay and Jack, this is Andy from Iowa. I have two quick theories. On today's podcast, you were talking about or noted the runway on the Hydra Island, but I don't know if the discussion went far enough. It hit me that who was the person in charge of that work project? It was Ben. Ben directed the building of the runway because he knew that at some point on a specific date, he would be on a plane that would crash right there, and there needed to be a runway. The other thing I was thinking about is last week you guys were talking about how Charlie decoded the number pad at the Looking Glass, and we're speculating that it might be a member of Geronimo Jackson or something like that. It hit me that Charlie may very well have programmed that number pad himself. We're already seeing a lot of different things, like, Hurley's voice on the numbers transmission, the runway itself, and other stuff that would indicate that people can go back and do something that affects their future. Charlie got it on the first try. It was easy for him. I say it's because he was the one that had programmed it. I'm out. Thanks for the podcast.
All right, thank you for those calls.
So what do you think? Charlie programmed?
The only problem I have with that is that Hurley's still alive and Charlie's dead, so how did he do it?
I don't know.
Unless somehow Charlie channeled himself in Hurley to do it, but I don't know.
Could be. But maybe that's why Widmore's so upset. He said he got kicked out. Maybe he got kicked out of Geronimo Jackson. Maybe he's like a little like Pete Best.
He's a bass player.
Was it Pete Best? He got kicked out of the...
He got kicked out of the Beatles because he was the pretty boy.
He was a pretty boy. So maybe Widmore, we saw him. He's the pretty boy. So he got kicked out because the other guys in the band were mad. So that's why he's upset.
But I guess the true reason to say Pete Best is because he just wasn't a good drummer.
I guess it's easier to say.
Well, in studio, I guess he couldn't cut it in the studio, so they brought in Ringo, who's more.
Well, maybe Widmore
stable.
Couldn't cut it in the studio, and that's why they threw him out. And he's just bitter. He got kicked out of the band. Nobody wants to get kicked out of the band.
I agree.
And then Radio Mike, Ben is the good guy. Sure, he's done some bad things.
Some.
But he did sacrifice. He just take himself out. Of course, wasn't getting off the island to save his own skin, though?
Yeah, he was doing that and to seek vengeance for his daughter.
He believes he's the good guy.
I don't know. After this one, I can't trust.
Well, he did kill your
fool
guy.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 365 times, shame on me.
So is Ben the good guy?
No.
Well, you don't like him because he killed Locke.
Exactly.
But he did. He was remorseful after killing him. It's like, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Crocodile tears is what they are.
You don't believe he was remorseful? You don't think he was like, he really said, I'm going to miss you, my
old friend.
Sure,
maybe in his sick, like, look on life where he thinks he's the good guy.
Because he's probably thinking, oh, great, now the only one I have to take advantage of is Jack.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, to me, I don't trust him.
And then Eddie makes a great point. Why isn't John just told people, you know, why is the island so special? I used to be in a wheelchair. I was pushed out of a window. My dad stole my candy.
But see, they have to believe themselves.
But if you tell them that, if you tell them, they will come.
But see, it's about faith and finding out on your own.
That they have to find something that makes the island special for them?
Uh-huh.
All right. Do you think in the end that John will maybe blow up Jughead?
I don't know. No, I don't think he'd do anything to hurt the island, quite honestly.
Okay. What if it's to save the world?
Maybe. I don't know.
And then Monty says that Faraday wears a tie because he's the new man of science.
Maybe. Because it's funny. Like, that is one of, like, the iconic looks that this logo right here. Or if it's going to, yeah, with him,
yeah,
with the tie.
It does have the tie. So is he the new Jack?
No, I don't. I guess maybe, like, but I don't think the tie is related to that, though.
It is funny how he never takes off the tie.
It's fashion choice.
And then John, Terry O'Quinn would win the Emmy. I said in the early part of this podcast, I agree.
Yeah.
I could not wouldn't argue if Terry O'Quinn won the Emmy.
But then Ben will just have to kill him again.
No, Terry O'Quinn's a great actor.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I don't hate Terry O'Quinn. I don't even hate John Locke. You know what? To make all the John Locke apologists happy,
uh-huh,
I will say something nice about John Locke on Thursday's podcast.
Okay.
I will come up with something, and I will say something nice about John Locke. It'll be with my crackpot theory. It'll be a crackpot theory and a something nice about John. I will say something nice, because if you can't say something nice about someone, you shouldn't say anything at all.
Uh-huh.
I will say something nice.
Okay.
Now the people that hate John Locke are going to be mad at me for saying something nice about him. I said something nice about him a couple weeks ago, didn't I?
I don't remember.
He was a better leader right now than Jack.
Yeah.
He's, man.
All right, you ready?
It's funny how you just can't hate somebody.
Uh-huh.
If you hate someone, the people just get upset.
It's bad.
I'm the good guy. I'm the good guy here.
Oh, man. Sounds like somebody I know. All right. You ready for the listener?
I have some remorse.
Are you ready for listening to the week?
Yeah.
I'll get the drum set ready.
Hey, Jay and Jack. This is Mark in Walla Walla, Washington. And I just had a couple things that I noticed from the scenes with our new crash survivors after this last episode. First was when Caesar's kind of ruffling through the office at the beginning of the episode, he finds a Life magazine with a picture of a hydrogen bomb explosion on the cover, and the caption says, awesome fireball. And I was just wondering, might that be a bit of foreshadowing for what's going to happen with the island? Number two, the new crash survivors seem like they've been around for a couple days. They've been out scouting. They've got a hospital area set up. And so what's Locke been doing during that time? Obviously, he went somewhere and picked up his sweet Jedi cloak, but just wondering what he's been up to. And then what I'm really calling about is at the end of the episode, we've got Locke and Caesar talking, and Caesar says that people disappeared after a big noise and a bright light. My question is why could he see the light? In all the other flashes we've seen, only the people who vanished actually saw the light. Ethan didn't see it when he had Locke at gunpoint. Ellie didn't see it when she was with Daniel, and Rousseau didn't see it with Jen. So just wondering what makes Caesar special, where he was able to see the light, or maybe he didn't see the light and just knew what had happened somehow. Anyway, just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. Thanks.
So it wasn't so much a theory, it's just a point to put out there is how did he know?
Yeah, maybe he, towards the end he says maybe he did know that there was going to be a flash.
Yeah.
That maybe he knew the plane was going to crash.
So it leaves a lot to be asked about Caesar. And
now, are Caesar and is it Alana?
Alana, I think.
Are they working together?
I think so.
Well, they're not. They don't trust each other. He didn't tell her about the gun.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Huh. It's something's weird there.
Well, she has a gun.
Uh huh.
So he has to have one too.
I guess sawed-off shotgun's a little more effective, I think, though.
So I like it. And then you know, where was Locke for those 2 days? Off doing his own thing. Where you think we'll see where Locke was at?
Maybe, possibly.
I don't know.
Having a tea with Jacob.
Tea with Jacob, and his handcuffs. Yeah. And then, you know, going back to Faraday and his tie.
Uh-huh.
You know, Jack didn't wear a tie. Jack had a key around his neck during season one.
Two. Oh, yeah, towards the end of season one, like season two.
So he had a key, not a tie. Just dawned on
me. I forgot about the key.
I just was thinking, oh, wait, Jack and his tie, Jack and his key. Oh, yeah, really? I think that would make a great flat. Where was John Locke for those two? Was he in the cave? Maybe in a coffin?
Possibly.
Maybe, you remember when you see the coffin in the season one?
Getting a little extra sleep, sleeping in a little bit longer.
Well, you know, you're a little bit of jet lag. Even when you're dead, you have jet lag.
But we don't know if your foot still swells or not.
No, we don't. We don't know that. But we know you have jet lag and you're dead. We can answer the important questions, but things like, your foot still swell up? Well, I guess it would still be.
If there's no blood.
No, I'm saying the break would still be there. But
the break would still be there.
But we didn't see because he had his pants on.
Yeah. Well, I would assume like the island healed it maybe in those 2 days or something.
Well, I'm sure of that because John heals quick.
Uh huh.
He does.
He's like Wolverine. All right, you ready to close with the show?
Yes.
All right, here we go. All right, guys, that is our show for this Monday.
Yay!
If you'd like to give us a call 206-309-0311.
Call any time.
Once again, it's 206-309-0311. Call any time, I'll ask questions, comments, and or theories. Also, you can send us an email at lostpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, it's lostpodcast@gmail.com. Also, you can check out our website at jandjack.com with all cool information related to our show.
It's now cool information? It's not important?
Well, I'm trying to change it up a little bit.
What, because people are realizing it's not that important?
No, I'm just trying to change it up, spice it up a little bit.
So now it's cool.
A little paprika on
it. It's like cool. It's not important, it's cool.
It's cool.
Paprika. What movie?
I don't know.
Bachelor Party.
You know, I watched Slumdog Millionaire. I got it on the internet.
That's illegal, isn't it?
I know it's illegal, but I
I've never done that.
And it's really good.
Is it really good? Did it deserve the Academy Award?
Yes.
And we were talking about the Academy Awards. This is a kind of off topic, but on the last Sunday's podcast.
Uh-huh.
How do you think Hugh Jackman did?
He didn't do too bad.
It wasn't.
You could tell he had like, you know, because he's hosted the Tonys a couple of times, I believe, and he has like that, you know, Broadway stage actor background.
Yeah, he was actually quite. It was funny. The opening scene was pretty funny and stuff.
Yeah.
My only complaint about the Oscars when they were doing the montage of celebrities who had passed away.
Yeah,
I didn't like the fact that Charlton Heston got just a.
Oh, I like was. It was more the thing that upset me was just like I didn't like how they didn't like usually like they'll bring the screen up so it's like on your TVs. They're filming like away from it. Like,
yeah,
kind of
artsy, but you know, like I said, the Paul Newman getting the loudest ovation. I can't argue. Paul Newman's probably my favorite actor of all time.
Uh huh.
But Charlton Heston, who's done, let's see, Ben Hur, Planet of the Apes, The Ten Commandments, Wayne's World 2.
Well, I think like if Charlton Heston, he's like kind of like the man's man actor. He does like, you know, it's like, but I think if you like compare like the two, like if you look at probably like as far as like kind of classic movies that kind of go beyond just like kind of a genre, I think that Paul Newman is like miles above.
Well,
where
I would agree. Paul Newman
is a very specific actor. He does Charlton Heston.
But it just seemed like he just got kind of a smattering of applause. I just was a little.
You're a little upset.
I was a little upset. I said, "Why does this guy not get a better? You know, he was considered a great actor.
Uh huh.
And you really didn't hear much about him when he passed away. It was like, okay, Charlton Heston died.
I think it's probably more his gun stance and Hollywood doesn't, you know, like the whole gun.
But thing. He was for civil rights. He marched. Oh yeah, marched with Dr. Martin Luther King. I was like going, he should have gotten a little more respect, I thought, than he got, and that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I think the
maybe they're just not Earthquake fans.
Well, maybe they're Tower Inferno fans of Paul Newman.
There we go.
Wait, was Charlton Heston in that movie? No, he was in Earthquake.
He was in Earthquake.
Were they ever in a movie together?
I don't know.
An Irwin Allen epic. Let's see. Wow, that's a good question. I have to look that up after this. But that's just I know it's an off-topic rant, but uh-huh. We were talking about the Oscars last Sunday, and I thought they were.
No, it's like that, and I didn't like the stage setup was kind of weird. It was. I didn't like how they started like playing the music when they were talking.
I thought Ben Stiller was hilarious.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
That was funny.
And I think that the whole, like, what is it? The Joaquin Phoenix thing. It has to be like an Andy Kaufman.
You think so? I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so too. But it's just like, I don't know. It's to me, like when I see, he has that kind of look in his face. It's like, yes, I'm playing everybody here.
Now, you said it's for someone's doing a...
Well, Casey Affleck's been filming him.
Really?
Yeah.
So, it would be a funny joke at the end.
But, and to me, it's just it seemed too much parallels between, like, Andy Kaufman, because he went on David Letterman, and then Joaquin Phoenix went on David Letterman.
That's true.
So, it seems... I don't know.
I know we got off topic here, but it had something to do with what we talked about last time.
It has something to do with the fact that it's way too early in the morning. All right, so we'll see you guys next Thursday.
I'm ready, and you have gone on record saying you're probably not going to like this episode.
No, I'm just saying is I'm worried.
Well, you got
I'm worried for the first time this season.
It's Locke withdrawals. You think we'll see John Locke?
Yeah, I think we'll see John Locke.
I think we'll see John Locke.
But I'm just like I'm worried. Just that usually the trailers before is like, oh, you can't wait, and this one is like. Who's Kate gonna make out? Like it's just like who's Kate gonna make out with this week?
Well, we should place a bet.
Let's see. Some random guy on the street. I'm just kidding. Don't.
Wow. You know it's funny. You don't get any hate for you hate on Jack. You hate on Kate.
When do I hate on
Jack? You hated Juliet.
Did I hate Juliet?
I think it was me. But
yeah, you hated Juliet.
I didn't. No, I didn't hate. I just didn't trust her. I still don't trust her.
I'm just saying.
I've grown to like her.
I'm kind of sick of Kate playing the making out with every guy on the island card.
You got to do what you got to do to survive. She's Kate.
I don't know. It's just like, dude, pick somebody already. I feel bad because Sawyer, he's heartbroken.
I do, and it's funny. You never, in the beginning, would you have felt
no,
sorry for Sawyer?
No, I wouldn't, but I feel bad for Sawyer. He loves her, and she's been playing him for a long time.
Well, maybe that's what the island did to Sawyer. It healed his... Bad boy.
Well,
ways.
Well, I think after he killed John Locke's dad, the real
Anthony
Sawyer,
Cooper, yeah.
That he resolved those issues, and now he's like at peace, more at peace anyway.
I agree with that.
But it's just like it frustrates me. It's just like he's a good guy.
But it took the island to bring Anthony Cooper to him. So,
uh-huh.
And it was actually John Locke who actually saved Sawyer. There, I said it. There's my nice thing I said about John Locke.
So now we don't get
am I off the hook? Am I off the hook?
It's up to you. You're the one who made the promise.
No, I'll think of something else. We'll just edit this part out. I can just save it for Thursday.
All right. Well, that's about it. We'll see.
I'm going to go on record saying I'm going to like this episode.
Okay. All right. All right. We'll see you guys Thursday. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.